Welcome to Between Ourselves, the podcast that centres Black women's voices in Europe. My name is Sakai Makoni and I'm the presenter and fellow participant in these conversations. So join us as we dive into today's discussion. As a precursor to this two-parter episode, present day me, i.e. Sakai, is jumping in. Confession, this audio was recorded back in June 2020. I couldn't believe it either when I look back at my diary. I blame the pandemic and life for not getting to edit until now, but I think the conversation is still pertinent and relevant. Pre-warning, you will hear a lot of clicking on my mouse. The mic really picked that up. But hopefully it doesn't deter you from the conversation. Here, in part one, we get to know about Tumu and Jomoke. We discuss the social model of disability, the wild things people are able to say to them. And they also discuss their going to school together and their unwillingness at that time to connect, which is a big contrast to now. So let's dive in. Welcome to this episode of Between Ourselves, where we're exploring the theme of Black women and disabilities. I'm joined by my two lovely guests, Tumu and Jomoke, who will introduce themselves in a moment. So let's jump into our first question, which is, who are you, what do you do, and if or how would you define your disability?
So my name's Tumu. So we just had a conversation about how to say our names correctly. So everyone calls me Tumu, but my name is Tumu. So I'm a disabled woman. I live in North London and I'm currently training as a clinical psychologist in the NHS. I really hate bios and hate kind of saying, I don't know what I am, I do some kind of community organizing and I sit on the steering group of a disabled women's collective called Sisters of Frida. I'm sure we'll cover more.
I'm sorry, Tumu is also completing her clinical psychology PhD. She does lots of fantabulous things that she's being very coy about, I think, in my opinion. Big yourself up.
I've said this is my worst thing in the world. I'm happy to talk, but I don't know why I've just got a thing about bios and about stuff like that, so we'll get to it.
Jomoke, go for it, my dear.
Right, hello everybody. My name is Ola Jomoke, which is often shortened to Jomoke. As Tumu, whose name I recently learned how to say properly, I was one of those charlatans who say Tumu. But much like Tumu, I often allowed people to say my name incorrectly, but the correct pronunciation is Jomoke. So I am one half of the Triple Cripples duo, which is a platform that I co-founded to highlight and make visible the narratives of Black and non-Black women, femmes, and non-binary people of color live with disabilities. I'm a lazy travel blogger, a food enthusiast, and an all-round Yoruba baby girl. One of my favorite pastimes is hyping up Black women. What else do I do? Yeah, so I'm a lazy travel blogger because I travel more than I blog. So if somebody asks me about it, I'll tell them about it. But in terms of like properly writing about it, I could do a heck of a lot better. But traveling is life, and actually one of my favorite places that I've ever been to, was Salvador de Bahia in Brazil. So yeah, man, that's me. So what do? I'm through Triple Cripples, I'm a freelance speaker and writer, and how would I define my disability? Well, I have polio, full name poliomyelitis, and I contracted that before my first birthday in Nigeria, where I was born. And it affects, typically it affects at least one of the four limbs. And for me, it affected my legs, and it just means that I have reduced muscle and strength in both of my legs, but it affected the left leg more so. And I have scoliosis because buy one, get one free. So, yeah.
I completely forgot to add my bit. So how do I define my disability? The way I see it is that I have a health condition. I have a health impairment. And then the way the world is set up disables me. So I don't see my disability as particularly like living inside me or... I don't, in my mind, it doesn't quite work like that. So I've got a neuromuscular condition, which means that, and I've had it since birth, so it's genetic, so my mum and my dad, passed on, they didn't know that they had it, so surprise, surprise, everyone likes a little surprise, and basically, it means that I use a wheelchair full time. Like Jamoke, I also have scoliosis. I had like corrective surgery, but still have bits of it going on. So I guess my kind of the obvious thing when they see me is that I use an electric wheelchair, but I also require support around like different physical aspects of my life. So.
Sorry, I was trying to unmute myself. I was going to ask this question later, but you kind of mentioned it in what you were saying. And so I wanted to ask around, and I can't find the question in my questions. Yes, what do you understand the difference between ableism and disableism to be? Jamoke, your face. Just because you made a really good point there to me where you were saying... I found that really transformative when I was initially taking a class, and in it they mentioned the idea that people are disabled by society. And we were talking about this the other day around like disableism. And also even the idea of referring to people as non-disabled and disabled, I think is a really helpful language use that forces me to think this through more. And so, God, that was a bit of a winding road. But my question is, what do you think about the terms ableism and disableism? And also, like, people's literacy around these terms, like, understanding of these terms. I feel like we've come to, like, a wider understanding of racial literacy in terms of intersectionality and white privilege and da-da-da-da. But when it comes to issues to do with disabilities, I don't think most people are as well-versed. Whoever wants to go first.
Well, for me, I guess the difference between, from what you have specifically said, the difference would be between ableism and disableism would depend on which models of disability you're looking at. So the medical model of disability in a nutshell essentially tells us that you are disabled because of your body. You are disabled because of certain impairments and certain characteristics that are either lacking or different to the quote-unquote norm. And using the social model lets us know that you in and of yourself aren't inherently disabled. But it's the environment around you that is disabling you. It's the attitudes of those around you. It's society as a whole and all components of it that are making you disabled, or making you even more disabled and allowing for a greater level of disablement. For me, I am a huge champion of the social model of disability because, and coming from the kind of background that I do, an African, Nigerian, Yoruba background, the attitudes of those around me around disability is often one of not trying to talk about it, which is really difficult because, like Tumu, you can see that I have a very visible disability, so it's not something you can avoid. Like my crutches and my leg brace are things that you will see automatically when you meet me. But I will say that I'm, at least for me, I appreciate and I'm thankful for the social model of disability, but there are certain things about my disability that means that within myself there is quite literally a disability. And no matter how many ramps, how many lifts, how accommodating people are, and where we live in the future, in this utopia where nobody's disabled by their environment. But so with my disability, if I'm sitting down like I am now, I can't actually lift upwardly either of my legs. Now, I could be in a space where there's a ramp, a lift, or whatever, but I still quite literally cannot physically lift my legs up. There are certain things that I won't be able to do. So for me, I look at it as a mixture of the medical and social models of disability, but more weighted towards the social model, because I'm not going to try and be the one to give non-disabled people and disabled people, you know, like within the disability community, an excuse. You know, it's just kind of like, oh, it's coming from you, you know, it's fine, you don't need that, whatever, you don't need these specific like access requirements or whatever. Like, we should be pushing towards a more equitable and an accessible environment for all of us. And when this is something that I discuss on Triple Cripples quite often, it's like when you center the needs of the most marginalized, of which disabled people are everywhere. Like, a lot of conversations are going and need to continue around queerness, around race, around religion. And those conversations are rightfully so being had. But often it is the minute you step outside of the disability community, disability ceases to exist unless you're confronted by somebody like myself, like Tumu. And yeah, mm-hmm. And I definitely think that needs to change. Yeah.
And I think in terms of, that's the thing as well, because we are physically disabled and it's visible, so it's kind of harder for people to ignore. But if the people who are invisibly disabled, there's different experiences for different people. And yeah, I think people's, like, the question around people's literacy around these things, I think it's more than literacy, because actually people's fundamental understanding is whack. Like, absolutely wildly out there. I think like Jamoke said, like, people find it hard to talk about, or they say things and you're like, wow, you really think that? Or they ask things that you'd never ask of a non-disabled person. Like, why am I in the club and you're asking me how I get in and out of the bath? Like, do you really need to know this? Is this the time? Is this the moment?
Like, yeah, I've had loads of experiences like that. Like, you know, I'm just trying to have fun, trying to do a little something. And they'll be like, so what happened to you? Like, right in your ear. And you're like, right, you see me looking as buff as I am, and that's what you think to ask me.
You want
to
step to me with the, what happened to you? What happened to you?
Honestly, what happened to you? Thank you. Like, what happened to your leg? What happened to your face? Let's go ahead.
It just gets tiring. But I think I'm more on the side of, I really, really have thought a lot about, because obviously I have quite a significant medical condition, and there are things I can't do independently. But I think it's, for me, it's about shifting my ideas. Like, society has told me, okay, well, if I can't lift up my leg, or if I can't lift up my arm, then you know, that's not something that can be explained by, for example, the social model. But in my mind, like, for example, if I can't reach something, and so I've got support, so I've got personal assistance, if I can't do something, like, I can't reach something, I can't lift something, and then that's done by person, I don't even think about it anymore, because it's then accessible. So, like, I do have lots of things I need help with, but in the morning, I don't think, I don't know, you know, so-and-so lifted up the milk and poured it into my tea. I think I had a cup of tea because there wasn't a barrier there anymore. So that barrier was gone because somebody was assisting me. So I just think, however you're able to do the thing, like, if there's support to make it accessible, I start to forget that that was even a difficulty in the first place.
That's great.
But obviously, not completely forget. Obviously, I'm not saying like, oh, you know, I forget I'm disabled. Like, no. But I think, like, yeah.
And to be honest, so, even if you tried to, apparently the guy in the club would remind you. How would you
leave? Leave me alone. But yeah, no, I think that understanding is poor. It's bad. It's so bad. Like, and that's the thing as well. People don't know how to speak about it, and people will talk fluently, eloquently about all these other things, like you mentioned, like about race, about. Yeah, but then, even then, I don't want to compare because. There are people that there's struggles everywhere. We are also all of those things. We're not just disabled, you know. And so, but I do think that there is something particular around disability that people struggle with. People are scared as hell, man. They're like, oh shit, if we talk about it, I'm going to get disabled in the morning. I'm going to wake up disabled. I'm like, yeah, you might, but people are scared. Yeah,
people are really nervous. It's true. People are really nervous around disability. And I think it's important not to try and conflate certain identities, be they like through race or ability, queerness, religion, not to try and conflate them together. But I think in terms of the conversations and the number of conversations, whether high level, low level or whatever, and who really determines what is high level, low level, but like these conversations are being heard.
Yeah.
Whereas with disability, there's a great avoidance, and especially with the I would say general Black community as well. So those that are on the continent in Africa, those that are in the Caribbean, those that find themselves in South America, like within the diaspora, like we try not to, or as much as we can, avoid associating disability with Blackness. And in doing so, like people like myself and Tumu are left out quite often, and you're left out of this community and that community, so you're kind of like floating nowhere, really.
But you know what, as well, just to say something about that as well. I think it's true, but I think it's true of every community, because I find in a lot of like I don't know, I was having a conversation with someone a little while ago, like quite a prominent kind of white liberal person, and they're trying to frame it like, oh, the African community have issues of disability, da, 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 da. And I'm like, yeah, cool, so do you lot, like, let's not, do you know what I mean? I find like sometimes,
well, yeah, no, I agree with you, but white people stay trying to do that, like they say, yeah, like yeah. Really has a huge issue with queerness, and it's like, but didn't you kick your child out? Like, I don't think should be the one trying to lecture to other people. No, I completely agree with you. But they stay
everywhere, isn't it? It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. It looks different, but it's everywhere, I think.
Just to pull us back a little bit, in time, how did you two meet? I think it's at school, but I feel like there's a story here, and I have a feeling that I might... Can I have a guess at this story?
Sure.
Okay. Long story short, I wrote like my thesis for my first master's about Black women in white spaces and the difficulty connecting. And at first I was like, oh, you two went to school together. I was like, oh, maybe you were friends at school. And then I thought, oh, maybe they really weren't friends, because maybe it's like when there's another Black girl in the room and you're like, I don't want to be associated with her. Like, I'm the... I don't know. This is my whole analysis and imagining. I may be completely wrong. What's the story? Tell me the tea.
So do you want to start off, or shall I start us off?
Let me just put a disclaimer out there. This girl was rude.
Oh my God.
This girl was rude. Imagine that. We just didn't get on, did we, babes?
No, we didn't. And it actually was like, until we... met again like later in life, it wasn't actually our fault. Like, it literally wasn't our fault.
No, yeah. Not at all. Also, I don't actually know. I don't remember the first day that I met you, I don't think. I remember, like, generally.
I remember the first time that I was confused with you. Yeah, I don't actually remember meeting you. And I was just kind of like, so for those that like don't know who we are, I am, so I mean, we're both obviously disabled black women, but I'm mobilized using two crutches and a leg brace. And as Tuma had mentioned earlier, she uses a wheelchair. So even if we were twins, even if we were on
which our may I add, and not,
I have like, we have nothing alike.
Yeah, you look completely different.
But it's just kind of
so
like
different.
Even if we were on our Tia and Tamara shit, it'll just be like, there are obvious signifiers. There are obvious markers like, oh, it's the one with the wheelchair. I know that one. Oh, it's the one with the crutches. I know. Yeah, it's simplistic, but these men couldn't even do the simple.
Wow. I know. It was kind of wild. Yeah. But
teachers.
And, like, and then they'll be like, Tumu, Tumu. And obviously I'd ignore them because I was like, well, I'm not Tumu. And they'd be like, oh, why were you ignoring me? I was like, you were talking to me?
Was this teachers?
Or mention...
or students? Confusing you? Or both?
Teachers would say our names wrong sometimes, I think. Members of staff.
Yeah, staff, and but I had students as well. Like.
Yeah. I remember, so basically, we were in different kind of sides of the year group, but we used to take the lift together, and the lift was like a source of, I don't even know, it was stressful.
Tension!
And literally, like, the lift would open, and I'd see her face, and I'd be like, why is she so rude for? And imagine that same accent that she was describing. She knew long words, you know, long, long words. So the insults would come, like, you'd be like, I don't think I even always understood the insult, but I knew that people were just getting finished. But yeah, I'd be like, wow, she's so rude. But I don't know why, I didn't, it's not like I had an issue with you, but I had an issue with you. I don't know. It was so weird.
Yeah,
right?
It was very strange. Like, if you, during secondary school, if you'd asked me, oh, do you know Tumu? I could tell you, like, on one hand, what I knew about Tumu. Her name was Tumu. She was in a wheelchair. And we went to the same secondary school. But actually knowing her, actually talking to her, actually getting to know her and develop an actual opinion of her, I actually didn't know her. As she'd mentioned, like, we, so the way that our year group was split up, our secondary school, you were either on one side of the secondary school or the other side of the secondary school, and during lunchtime and break times, that's when everybody would all be congregated around the same playground and whatnot, and obviously during lunchtime. And so I very rarely saw her, but anytime I saw her, I'd be like, look at her. Here she comes again. Just every day, just doing nonsense. Like, not you. And they call me you. And I didn't know anything about her, but I was just vexed. I was like, how can you compare me with her? Like, what do you actually know about her? Like, no, nothing. You're not focusing on the point. You're not focusing on the point. I was like, it seems you're not focusing on the point.
Then all I had to say was that, like, she's just rude. That's all I knew in my head. I was like, she's not rude. I don't know anything else about her, but I know she's rude.
Yeah, and but I will say, like, oh yeah.
No, go on.
No, but I will say, like, in terms of the rudeness, like, it was, first of all, I was not rude, so excuse you. Second of all, it wasn't so much a rudeness, but I was quite sarcastic. So for me, having been disabled since I was months old and coming to the UK quite young and learning English after I'd arrived, you had to develop a thick skin very quickly. Like, I was a new kid to this land, I was black, I was disabled, I couldn't speak a lick of English. Like, I had to hit the ground running, right? Which is very difficult with polio. But,
that's why I like this.
That's exactly. But it was just a case of, I know, people like to laugh, so I will make people laugh. And that, for me, I definitely used it as a defense mechanism. And I would often, not rude, but I might be what some people call, como se dice, mean, but verbally, because I can't fight. Like, me and Tim were discussing this, like, we would both get our shits wrong. Like, we cannot fight.
Yeah.
Like, done. But it was done. Just a case of, okay, how can I take you down? I can verbally take you down. And I'm very witty. And it's just kind of like, I can be quite cutting in that sense. And in this one with the wheelchair, talking about, yeah, it's, like Jamoke 2.0. I was like, where did you come from, please?
We were both kind of rude though. I feel like we were both
But you had to be. Like, we were like tiny little disabled black girls, and people, they would talk the maddest. And kids are the dickheads, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so, like, any way you had to defend yourself, and that's what we did, yeah.
And I think, like, talking about defenses and coping strategies and stuff, like, I can definitely relate to that, like, yeah, that kind of way of being. But also, I feel like, in a way, we separated ourselves from each other because we didn't want to get, like, grouped, like
yeah, kind of, the Crips, like, hanging out together.
Yeah, like, those two crippled girls over there.
And yeah, I know, which is fucked up, you know.
I don't think we've been friends for time. I rate you, yeah, and I feel sad that we didn't have that, like, solidarity in school, because actually that may have been, I don't know, that could have been a really, like, I don't know what the word is. That could have been
I think it could have been really transformative.
Yeah.
You know, knowing that somebody has your back, and not only has your back because, like, your friends have your back, but it's just kind of like somebody that gets it that has your back, because there's certain things that you, like, Tuma and I don't need to explain to each other because of the fact that we are both disabled, you know? It's just kind of like, yeah, that happened to me too. It's like, yeah, no, I totally get it. And there's a camaraderie there, whereas... If it's with somebody that's not disabled, or even if they had an invisible disability, you know, because that's also a thing, it's just kind of like you won't be able to get it. And you can only, it's only through lived experience that you can get certain things, you know. So, but I'm glad we're together now.
Can I?
And now our friendship has flourished.
Yeah.
We're not really together anymore. Well, a little bit.
Can I ask a quick question, though? Like, number one, if the teachers hadn't confused you, or the students hadn't confused you, do you think you would have been more likely to kind of be friends? And also, because I didn't realise, because I was like, God, what are the chances that you'd both end up in the same school? And then Tumi was like, there was only one accessible school in the whole borough. So were there people with disabilities in all of the years? Like, how did that all work? And do you know whether that's different now? Like, is there more accessibility to more schools? So yeah, accessibility in schools, and also, if you hadn't been confused in the first place, do you think you might have been friends?
I will say, I mean, I'd love to say that, oh, had there been no confusion from the
outset,
like,
no.
Let me finish, Tumi, what the hell? Like, I'd love to say that I would be friends with Tumi, but as the point that she'd raised up, like, even if people knew me to be Jamoke and they knew her to be Tumu, it would still be the fact of, like, if we are seen hanging out together, it's like, of course the cripples would hang out together, you know, like, this one, and then you didn't, and that's why it's so difficult, especially in those formative years. Like, I know, at least speaking for myself, that as much as I could, even though, again, yes, I was visibly disabled, I was trying to disassociate myself with disability. And, like, Tumu and her wheelchair are obviously a physical representation of disability. Like, even, like, I know that sounds fucked up, but let's be honest. Like, whenever
Tumu and her wheelchair,
sign, it's a person in a wheelchair. And it's just kind of like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, all of this work that I felt that I had to do because of the way society was set up to show, like, oh, I'm not that disabled, I'm not that this, I'm not that that. It's like when people try to make you feel like you should be, like, the good black. It's like, oh, you're not one of those other kinds there. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, so much energy, time, brain space, and emotions were wasted to try and disassociate from something that you shouldn't try to disassociate from. It's just like another way of living. So I would love to say that we would have been friends, but honestly, probably not.
I agree. I don't think we would have been friends. I agree. I think I was too busy trying to, I don't know. It's not, obviously, like you said, I'm in a wheelchair. That's hard to hide. Like, saying, like, you know, can't just put the crutches away. Like,
yeah, exactly.
We're, like, kind of, it's very obvious. And I think, yeah, I think part of, like, us being so distant from each other was literally just, we're trying to, like, distance ourselves from our own disabled bodies, in a sense, let alone each other's. Like, so, hold on, I'm trying to pretend now I'm not disabled. Why am I going to go catch another disabled person and bring them in? But do you know what I mean? Why am I going to try it? Why would I do that? It wouldn't make sense when you're out here trying to survive. And in answer to your question, I think me and Jamoke were, like, the only... Were we the only disabled kids in our year?
No, I think in our year, no, there was this guy, actually, that was in my form. He also had a disability, and it was a physical disability as well, but it was in such a way that you couldn't really tell immediately. So, like, I mean, I had the crutches and the leg bracing, you had the wheelchair, but he didn't have any, yeah, that's it. He didn't have any mobility aids that you could point to and say, like, yeah. Oh, right, you have just, like, he was disabled as well, but there was no mobility aid as a sort of signifier. But there was, yeah, I remember a younger, I don't know if it was like a year below or 2 years below us, there was another girl, I think she was like a white girl, who used to, use crutches as well, but that was like after us, and like we would have been old.
And there was another girl that used to come from the quote unquote special school and visit like a little bit, come to some
really? Places.
Yeah, but she was a lot younger than us. I think she was like 2-3 years younger. She used a wheelchair. But just to say, like, I don't know about you, but I didn't have a choice in what secondary school I went to, because that was the only partially accessible one in the borough at the time. And also, when we arrived there, so there was 3 different blocks. So it was like the main block with the old-fashioned lifts that just used to be mad. Yeah. And then there was like the like tech block and the new
That one was old as hell.
But when we started... the tech book and the music book didn't have wheelchair access, so it was actually a big fight to get lifts put in, and so for a long time, like, what, 2/3 of the school wasn't actually accessible to us. I don't know if you managed to get up there, Jamaica, but I used to
like, if need be, and this is like why you need to have like different like disabled opinions on things, because I use crutches, like I can still do stairs, like I obviously do them slowly, but it's like better for me and my well-being if I don't. So, but if it came a case of like, oh, there's a fire in the building, you better believe I'm flinging myself down those stairs.
She's abandoning me on the sixth floor, mate. She was
fine. I didn't know you like that.
What crutches? I'm gone, and I'm just up there in my chair, like...
See you later, hopefully. No, that's fine. I will say...
No, yeah, you could kind of manage if we were stuck, or if the lift did... The lift broke down on a regular...
So many times, wow.
Broke down, yeah, a lot.
It was an actual lot. Like, the amount of times I was late as well, just bouncing around in the lift, and then people get in there and jump up and down. And
it was just...
Kids are terrible. I've been telling you.
Yeah. When they used to open the doors, do you remember? They
yeah,
used to, like,
halfway.
The lift would be moving and they'd force the door open and the lift would just drop to the door below.
You're like, oh, No.
It was really, but it was not only accessible.
Yeah, I think, like, I had the same experience as Timmy. Like, I had to go to the school that we went to, because it was the only accessible one. But I think what was what really made me make such an effort in trying to disassociate from disability, especially during secondary school, was during primary school. There were some steps to get to my primary school, but once you got up, I think it was like 7 or 8 steps once you got up there, then it was just like flat and level. Which, obviously, there should be no upstairs or downstairs, but that's besides the point. But in primary school, I had a great time in primary school and made loads of friends because I'm popular. but the friends that I had made in primary school, they were all going to this one secondary school that was also within the same borough. I was like, oh, my God, yeah. I want to go there. Like, that's where my friends are going. And it was because of my disability that I couldn't go. And, like, for me, it was, like, really heartbreaking. I was like, so what? I can't see my... And it was literally, like, young heartbreak. I was like, I can't hang out with my friends anymore. I can't see my friends anymore. And it was at this point, like, I didn't have a phone. Like, I ain't had no money. I mean, I still don't have money anyway. But, you know, I got a phone. But, like, it was just, like, I was like, wow, shit. Like, disability means that I can't hang around with these, like, friendships that I've developed over 6 years. And I remember, like, when I was leaving... primary school, before, you know, like finding out that I had to go to this particular secondary school, like bawling my eyes out, like, oh my God, I'm not going to see my friends anymore, blah, blah, blah. And then it's just kind of like, yeah, this is the only place that somebody like you can actually go to and get an education. And not one of my friends that I'd made in primary school, like the group of girls that I was friends with, they all went to the exact same place, or like a majority of them did, or they went to others, and I couldn't go. And I knew it was because of my disability. So for me to, and I'm sure, you know, Tumu was great, blah, blah, blah. But like, it was just, like she said, it would be like trying to hang out with a reminder of something that you're trying to disassociate from. And it would just kind of, it would be backwards in that sense, which is backwards thinking, but we only know that now. So, yeah.
It wasn't, I don't think it was conscious either. Like,
I didn't see you,
and think, I don't want to hang out with her because she's disabled. I just, you know, as kids do, just behave, like, just acted, like, on whatever, I don't know, trust it in and stuff. But I think what you're saying, like, it's, that feeling, like, I can relate, like, that. And, like, I'm not here to do, like, personal tragedy stories of disability, but we need to acknowledge that there is this exclusion that happens, like, and that we, I think, for those of us that have been disabled during childhood as well, that happens, like, young, and then you learn, like, oh, I'm the one that can't go, so there's something wrong with me, or...
with me.
You know, like, and it all kind of feeds into... And I don't, yeah, like I said, I don't think, like, these things are necessarily conscious, but, you know, when you're a child, that being separated from your whole friendship group, that tells you something, right? That's something, that's
you know, you're the odd one out.
Yeah, you're different in some way, and it's not always explained well, either. It's not like, look, these buildings are shit, and there's nothing, it's not about...
And it's not your fault, it's not.
But yeah, access was bad back then, it's bad now, but back then it was really, really awful.
So, like, a kid moving from primary school to secondary school now in Islington, would they have more options of schools to go to, do you think?
They might have... Oh, I've just got feedback.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. They might have more options, I think, but what I will say is, what I heard is... kids from this quote-unquote special school, let's just call it what it is, the segregated school. So kids who are segregated based on their disability, they now, I think, are in one of the buildings in our old secondary school to try and, like, quote-unquote integrate them. But they have, like, I've heard, I can't say this is fact, I've heard they've got different break times, different lunch times. It's like they're on a whole different timetable. Tell me, what is the point? What's the point? Like, it's almost worse in a way. It's almost like these kids are gonna, we're gonna bring them here, but they can't play with you guys because, you know, they're not normal. They need protecting. They're fragile or whatever. And I think however difficult parts of our school life were, like, we were just out there, like,
made thrown to the lion.
No protection. And actually, I think as well, it wasn't just beneficial for us. It was beneficial for the other kids because the other kids are like, oh, I know someone in the wheelchair. I know someone on crutches. They're just like, you know, they do all the things that we do, and they do some of them in a slightly different way, but we're cool. Like, it just became a less of an issue, and I think it's essential, to be honest. I think this segregating kids is, like, so damaging, and it leads on to that guy in the club that's asking you how you get in and out of the club or what happened to your legs. He never knew no disabled kid when he was growing up, or even if he did, it was in a very particular way, like, where they were kind of different in a negative sense.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with Tumu, and I think, from my own personal experience, the people that I've met that aren't visibly disabled themselves, that are not weird around disability, you find that in their earlier years, like, oh, my best friend from primary school, oh yeah, she was disabled, or like, I have a sister or a brother, and like, they grew up around disability, and even when I was in primary school, and that's where... Oh, wow, what a hell pit secondary school is. But anyway, like, primary, no, I had fun. What do you mean? But no, but like in primary school, there's like an earnestness there. So like whenever we'd, and specifically during PE, like I've had my, been using a leg brace for, not from the very start of me coming to the UK, but like I think 2 or 3 years after, so I would have been like 7 or 8. Like they'd want to like help me put on and like take off my leg braces, like, okay, and now we'll time each other and how quickly we can get it on and off, you know? And it was just a very ordinary thing. Like it wasn't weird. There was like an adaptation there, and like there was specific inclusion there as well, because they'd gotten used to that. And like when they do grow up, they won't be the adults at work that are just kind of like, oh no, I don't want to talk to them, I don't want to say the wrong thing, I don't want to do this. So I will, in order to not say the wrong thing, I'll completely avoid you and thus exclude you. And that's even worse. I mean, I'm not saying that I want somebody to come up to me and say, hey, what happened to your leg? But like, there can be no sort of relationship built if you don't even talk to me.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say something, Demoke? Do you know that I used to wear leg braces in primary school?
Really?
I stopped when I started secondary school because our school was so busy, and I would, because I had two, and I was worried about, like, when
falling.
I
falling.
Yeah, I used to fall flat, you know, like the knees don't bend. You're going down.
Yeah, mate, the amount of times I dropped, like, hardcore, be like,
yeah.
And the worst part, at least for me, was like, because I'm quite tough, you know, I can't fight, but it's just kind of like your ego, because what would happen is like you would fall and all you hear is ooh, and then everybody looking at you like, are you okay? And you're like,
you know what
Matthew, I'm not.
You know what, it was like a mixture, but it was that thing of like, I wasn't as steady on my feet, I don't think, as you are. And I think I was just like, if I go there, I'm just no. But yeah, primary school was like falling over. I remember one time I fell behind a bookcase. Obviously, once I was down, I couldn't get up.
And
I
was
behind the bookcase. Did anyone even notice? How was I even behind the bookcase?
Oh my God.
But you know, like these things, like I just was scared. I was scared to like walk around. And also like, yeah, again, my walk was like different, and I probably was like shy and, but I will say that sometimes people want to, how do I put it? They want to know like what it's like to be disabled, and I think it's really important to like remember that there's so many different experiences. There are people who, like you were saying earlier, Jamoke, there's so many people who just like go through life and don't really encounter like many difficulties. There's other people who have a really difficult time, but most of us have like both of that. We have like a mix, right? Mm-hmm. Like anyone else, I guess.
So beautifully.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what changed? Like, how did you reconnect? Where did you reconnect, and why was it different? Like, had you both matured? Like, what happened?
You want to take this one, Tumu, or
well,
do you want me to...
Can I just say, I feel like we've got different understandings of when we reconnected.
Oh, okay.
You tell how we met.
And then I'll see if it matches up with
mine. Okay, so I don't remember how exactly, but I remember being at Pizza Express with you at some point when we were younger, with like a few other people. Do you remember this? We used to go out for dinner every now and again, me, you, who was we with? Why did I just put something on the mouth? Who was we with? Do you not remember?
No. I mean, you can talk to me about it after, but like
you just blocked this out. I've been so offended. We went to we left school. We went to the same sixth form, but again, we didn't have.
Yeah, we went to the same college.
We were still you again. I was like, oh gosh, why is she here for?
Are you so obsessed with me?
I feel like we were a bit more okay with each other by then in terms of like, hi, bye. We weren't rude to each other.
No, I think we definitely like matured more from like, and like secondary school is a cesspit. Like if, like it will bring out like any bad, like traits that you might have that, you know, are not so bad, but it's just kind of like, oh, such and such said something about your mother. Oh, are you going to take that? Yeah. And you'll like hide the thing up. And then you'll be like, I didn't really care to begin with, but now I fucking hate it.
Yeah, but by
I think what I will say, when I feel that I truly connected with Tuma, we need to talk about Pizza Express, because honestly, where did I get this money? But like, it was like a few years now, I had seen something about this event that was being put on by Sisters of Frida that she mentioned she's part of the steering group for, and I'd gone there, you know, this sunny day in London, so rare, and I remember seeing her, and I was like, wow, Tumu, like, it's just been so long, blah, 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 like, you know, we need to talk, we need to catch up, blah, 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 etc. And so the event had happened, and then we were speaking on and off throughout that day, and thankfully, my baby can drive, so she dropped me off home. So, yeah, I think that, for me, was, like, the proper reconnection, and I can see you and value you for who you are, as opposed to this person that reminded me a little bit too much about the parts of myself that I didn't necessarily want to acknowledge, and I didn't necessarily want other people to acknowledge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We definitely like fully connected there. Yeah. But I'm just like still offended that we went to dinner so many times. Like,
I'm sorry, but you're going to have to hold that L. You're going to have to hold that L.
Yeah, I'm going to. Now you're trying to embarrass me on live. Like, you're embarrassing me as if to say, like, I'm making up some memories. We were friends, all right? We were friends from before.
Yeah,
we were friends,
but I think,
had a break.
I will say what I found annoying, as I mentioned before, was, like, all the time that, and I can only obviously speak from my side, but like all the time that I'd wasted, like not really getting to know Tumu and have her being a part of my world as early as I could have, because like Tumu's a light, like for sure, and like it would have been nice to have had that earlier on, but you know, we thank God for life, we're here now.
We thank God, like I feel the same.
And I
do think that having been through that experience together when we were younger, it, again, we've got like quite a deep understanding of each other, because we've known each other since we were 11, and we know what life was like then, and we know what life's like now, and you don't have to say certain things to me, and I feel like you understand me, and I just, yeah, I love this girl, so.
Oh, love letters to my sister.
Wow, how did it turn into, this has just turned into a little romantic little...
No, I love it. Because the thing is, like, for so often, like, women generally, and, like, black women, it's just kind of like, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, they're not going to get on. That's a lie. That's propaganda.
Lies.
And how long ago was this that you reconnected then? Is this a recent thing, or...?
No, this was years ago.
Okay.
Because I've been to a couple of birthday celebration of Ms. Tumul. Actually, I can't remember the exact date, but I'm sure, like, if I... I'm on the laptop as well, yo. Let me have a little Google. Let me see.
And Tumu, were you at all hesitant when Jamoke approached you then? Were you like, oh no? Or you were like, yay?
No, but I'm the kind of person...
Like, I'll just...
We weren't shy of each other, were we?
No, we
legit love each other. We've got our little thing going on where we don't really chat, but when we had to, we never avoided
each other in the sense of, I cannot work with her.
Okay.
No, we're just kind of matter of fact. Like, hey, yeah, where are you going? Here, what are you doing? Like that. It was just, yeah.
Okay, cool, brilliant.
This is telling me... maybe it says 4th of May 2018.
Wow, you're really brilliant.
But I think.
Oh, wow. Only 2 years ago. Wow. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
No, this is
yeah,
what
I'm yeah, saying. But I think because we already
How
had that foundation.
Two years
we once
came to my birthday party. When did you come to my birthday? Like 3 years ago.
Look, what I'm saying is when we first. Look, we were sending each other love letters, so I don't know why you're trying to do too much. Like, she refuses to hold the L. Like, wow, just put it down.
Oh my God.
Whatever you're listening.
Okay, moving on. Moving on.
It was the 4th of May 2018.
Oh my god. Okay.
And that's where I'll stop the conversation for now. They continue debating this for a little while longer, but join us for part 2 as we continue the discussion.